Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves. And I have a special treat, y'all. I have been trying to talk Roz Kramer into coming on to Pure Dog Talk for a hot minute. And now that she's through being famous as the best in show judge for Westminster Kennel Club this year, she has agreed to join me. And I am beside myself with glee.
Pure Dog Talk is proudly sponsored by Trupanion, medical insurance for the life of your pet. As a breeder, you want what's best for the puppies you raise, after they go to their new homes especially. With Trupanion, you're able to send each puppy home with a go-home day offer to help ensure that that includes the best medical care. This special offer provides each puppy with immediate coverage upon activation, so they're protected during the vulnerable transition time as they adjust to their new homes. If the pet has an unexpected accident or illness, Trupanion will help cover the cost of the veterinary bill and can pay the veterinarian directly at the time of checkout. Even better, Trupanion has no payout limits, so owners will never have to choose between finances and doing what's best for their puppy. Want to learn more? The Trupanion Breeder Support Program is completely free to join and available for breeders in the U.S., Canada, and Australia. Getting started is quick and easy. Just follow the link on my partner page at puredogtalk.com to get started. I'm coming today to talk to you about Brilliant Pad, and it is amazing and an incredible way for me to do my potty training with the puppies and not ever have to touch any yucky stuff. Brilliant Pad literally rolls the mess up and you never touch it. So I really wanted to talk to you guys about that, share with you the experience I had with it. It's like the most amazing thing you've ever seen. So welcome, Roz. I'm so excited you're joining us.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's great to be here.
Excellent. Okay, so you're new to the podcast, so here's the thing. The 411. We want to know all about you. You started in wire fox terriers at like 12, right?
Right. Yep. I was a kid, you know, bratty little kid and wanted a dog. And of course, my mom said, oh, you've got to go to the library and research what breed. And I decided I wanted a bloodhound. So we go to the Sunday paper. Stop laughing.
That was perfect. That was so beautiful.
So we go to the Sunday paper and, you know, see AKC registered bloodhound. And you go and there's this beautiful litter. And I pick up my cute puppy and I'm hugging it and holding it. And my mother's writing out the check. And then they bring the dam in and she shook and goobers went everywhere. And my mother ripped up the check and said, no goobers in my house. So that was, you know, the end of that. And of course, then she was stuck with the bratty crying kid. Said, oh, you took my puppy away, you know. So after a couple more weeks and my moaning and groaning about what a mean mother she was, she said, oh, we're just going to get a fox terrier because that's what I had when I was a kid. But she had a smooth. Couldn't find that in the paper. Found a wire fox terrier litter and went and bought a pup. And of course, 8 months later, the breeder talked you into showing it and tried to teach me how to trim, etc. So that's how I got into wire fox terriers.
And the rest is history. So the flying goobers, I have to tell you the story. You'll appreciate it. My family raised Clumber Spaniels. Mm-hmm. And when they sold the house that I grew up in as a kid, they were scraping slime off the ceiling.
Oh, gross.
See? See? I knew you would appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll notice I don't have Clumber Spaniels.
No, nor do I have bloodhounds.
Exactly.
I'm off to all the bloodhound people, believe me.
We love bloodhounds. We love Clumber Spaniels, but there is a reason there is a purebred dog for everyone.
Exactly.
And that is the beauty of purebred dogs. So yeah. Starting with wire fox terriers and on into working for handlers, right?
Yeah, actually, it started when I was 13, and of course, I finished my little wire fox terrier and was in love with dog shows. And there was a great Scotty guy by the name of John Sheehan, and obviously in Minneapolis where I lived, and he had a Scotty kennel with between 30 and 40 Scotties all the time. And of course, he talked me into going to his kennel every day after school, cleaning them, yada, yada. Went there every day after school. On weekends, I'd go there. And when they were at shows, I started going to shows with them all the time. So I was kind of indoctrinated into Scotties. And the one thing that he always said to me over the course of years was, oh, there's only two dog shows that your goal is to get there every year and try and win. And that was Westminster and Montgomery County. So that was always ingrained in my brain. And then one year he said, hey, by this time I had one little Westie. And he said, let's enter your Westie and let's go to Westminster. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to the big city, you know, some kid, whatever. So that's how I got going. And then after I graduated from school, I went to work for George Ward and was, you know, that whole thing is history. So
whole thing is history. I understand.
Yep.
And after you retired from handling, you went to work as a rep. Am I right?
Yeah. In between that, I went to work for my ex-client, Grand Mussers, that worked at Grand Hotel. Okay. And from there, I went to work for the Kennel Club, American Kennel Club.
Very nice. And you judge now three groups.
Yes? Yep. Yep.
And just you're working on sporting? Come on, I'm going to get you into sporting.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I've got half the sporting group. Yep.
Awesome. And so now the big question for me anyway, because I really need to know the answer to this. You've judged best in show at Montgomery and you've judged best in show at Westminster. Those you just said were the two golden apples. Those are the shows. Which one gave you more goosebumps?
How about a tie? That's so mean because I love them both. You love them both. I'm telling you. It's both of them were like the most incredible honor. Actually, I do think that Westminster topped it. That's like the winner of a lifetime. I really do. Yep.
That's amazing. Coming from a terrier person, I was sure you were going to say Montgomery.
No, I think Westminster. I'm still shocked they even asked me, if you want to know the truth. It's an incredible honor and very humbling.
Absolutely. And you had a beautiful lineup. So talk to us about that. Share any thoughts you would care to share with us about that beautiful lineup.
You know, you're sequestered, and so you don't really know who you're getting.
Right.
And they come in the ring one at a time, and it was one gorgeous dog after another. I mean, and they just, all of them showed like $1 million. They all looked wonderful. Fabulous condition. And it gave me goosebumps. It really did. I was so happy and so thrilled. You have no idea. It's just...
I don't. And I think it's everybody's dream to show there and judge there and win there and do all the things. So that's pretty
amazing. It was great. And then, you know, as you go over each one, it's just so invigorating. And it just made me smile the whole time. It was great.
How could it not? And Cause, that just, I mean, moved me to tears.
Oh, it moved me to tears. And I'm going to be honest, it wasn't until the after show party. I did not know that he was retiring, that that was his last show. And then, of course, I get to the party and then I hear that and then I start crying.
Never crying. Yes.
Yes.
Definitely crying.
Yeah.
So, all right, can you bring it down to one detail? What the one detail between the poodle and the German Shepherd? Can you do it?
The poodle bitch walked in, and I'm not saying the Shepherd didn't show because she showed like $1 million, but that poodle absolutely asked for it. From the second she took her first step, it was 100% flawless. Flawless. Performance and just entire breed type, everything about her. It just, she gave me goosebumps. And of course, in incredible condition, then presented perfectly.
To me, it's again, it's sort of, that night was just such a bringing together of all of the legends. Because Cause, of course, apprenticed with Ann Rogers Clark.
Right, right.
And so that history, can you talk a little bit about that? You are so steeped in that just amazing history of the dog world. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, obviously his connection with Annie, and Annie for me was always, I have had three incredible mentors for me, Annie, Janie, and Bob. I had so much respect for the three of them. And Annie, she was such a teacher in many ways. I never worked for any of them, but you saw them at shows all the time. And they'd give you little hints or little suggestions all the time. And or you'd just sit and listen to them and you'd learn. And incredible learning. And, you know, many, many times Janie and Bob would come to our place, you know, to play golf with George. And Bob was always down in the kennel seeing the kennel and looking at dogs, and we talked dogs, and he gave me so many fabulous ideas and thoughts and remedies for dogs. It's just one of those people that you just, I felt like a sponge, lucky to soak up some of his knowledge, very little amount, but you just,
but
it was blessed.
Roz, that's so much of what I think we miss a little bit in our sport today.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
to be honest, a big part of why I do this podcast, I talk about it like I was a kid growing up, like I was a fly on the wall.
Right.
And
yep.
I feel like this is an opportunity to bring that 20th century knowledge that we sat and sucked up like flies on a wall to mm-hmm. people who wouldn't have had an opportunity otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly.
So talk about some of those things. What, can you remember one particular thing that just stuck with you forever and ever and ever?
Yeah, and it's sort of a crazy story. And it's not something that is applied on a daily basis by a long shot, but it was a great learning tool for me. George had shown a wire fox terrier for Mrs. Carruthers, and had just he just finished his career. And he had like 45 best in shows on him. And I was in the kennel one day, you know, you go down there at 7 o'clock and you're putting the dogs out. And I had him under my arm. And we had like a screen door and then a regular door. And I opened up the door, gone out the screen door, and one of the girls asked me a question. And I turned, and the dog jumped, like sort of tried to out of my arms. And he whacked his head on the doorway. And you could hear this crack. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, what happened to him? And I put him down, and there was no blood or anything like that. And he is off in our 40-foot runs, and he's running and barking, and everything was fine. Well, the next day I came into the kennel, and the whole left side of his head was completely like caved in, and his eye was kind of hanging out, and it's like, I'm screaming, and I mean, it was the most disgusting thing I ever saw. And I called the vet, and I'm raced up there, and she said, it's nerve damage, it's never going to come back, he's going to lose his eye. Well, of course, then I come back from the vet and had to tell George, and you know, that wasn't a good situation. And Bob and Janie were there to play golf, and I'm down at the kennel. And the next morning, Bob comes down at 7:05, and he walks in and he said, let me see that wire dog. I want to look at that wire dog. So I bring the dog out, and he holds the dog's head, and he's looking at it, and he said, we can fix this. And I said, Bob, we can't fix this. The vet says it's nerve damage. It's never going to come back. He's going to lose his eye. And he said, bullshit. He said, do you have a butcher? I said, a butcher? He said, yeah. I said, we've got a butcher about 4 miles down the road. He said, come on, we're going down to the butcher. I thought, what the hell is he talking about? Sorry, shouldn't swear. And so we go down to the butcher, and he said to the guy, this girl is going to come every day, and she's going to get the biggest knuckle bone you ever saw in your life. It's going to be a fresh one every day. And he said, well, sir, we're closed on Saturdays and Sundays. And he said, fine, then you're going to give her three on Friday. And so he said to me, every single morning, you give this dog this big monster knuckle bone, and at 5 o'clock at night, you take it away, and he's going to gnaw, gnaw, gnaw on that. And he said, and you're going to do that for 6 weeks, and at the end of 6 weeks, you're going to call me. Well, at the end of 5.5 weeks, I called him because the dog's head was completely normal. And I said, how did you know this was going to help? And he said, nerves and muscles, he said, honey, he said, how do you think I finished all those lousy-headed boxers, those bad bull mastiff heads? He said, I got boxer heads and everything to look really good, and it's all a matter of conditioning. And even though you don't use that particular scenario, it's the conditioning part, day after day after day, that sinks in your head. I know that's a silly story.
That is profound, truly profound.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the dog lived to be 15 and was totally normal.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It's the conditioning part. And it was a teaching tool to me that you do this day after day, hour after hour, and don't stop. And it's going to pay off.
Particularly when we talk about terriers. The terrier folks are so, it sort of makes me cry a little bit inside my heart when I look at the people who aren't going into the coated breeds, you know, yes. in the terrier breeds, because there was so much precision and so much just really amazing dog people that come from that.
It's artistry. And I think people prefer the quick fix and the easy fix. And I think that people should give themselves a challenge. So I'm not just saying about terriers, but give themselves a challenge and prove what they can accomplish, and they might be surprised.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew, check it. The results are in, and 96 of the 100 top all-breed show dogs in 2023 are fed ProPlan. The high-performance food is made with 30% protein and 20% fat to fuel the metabolic needs of an active, keenly motivated show dog while maintaining lean muscle. The owners and handlers of these top champions choose to feed ProPlan because it delivers concentrated nutrition to optimize oxygen metabolism for increased endurance, a pivotal part of campaigning a show dog. ProPlan promotes nutrition for joint health and mobility and for healthy skin and coat. The ease of feeding one of the ProPlan All Life Stages formulas that provide complete and balanced nutrition for puppies to senior dogs is an added bonus. Try ProPlan and see why more owners and handlers of top show dogs choose it. Visit purina.com/ProPlan/dogs to learn more about the number one dog food of show dog owners and handlers in 2023.
Okay, another story. I had a client decide that they really needed a cilium for me to show. I said, no, really, no, you don't. So I tried. I tried really hard. I gave it to somebody else to finish. I'm like, I tried. That's the best I could do. But that's my point. My point is that you are correct. We have to challenge ourselves. We have to know what we can and cannot do. But the dedication and the absolute sheer focus of the people who work in the hard-coated terrier breeds, to me, is just awe-inspiring. And I think what you're talking about comes through, that you do it every, you're on a schedule, and it's, you know, you're pulling ahead, you flat work, and you're pulling the jacket, and you're pulling flat work.
But you know what, Laura? It isn't just the terrier breeds, and I'm just going to use Best in Show dogs that I just had at Westminster. I'm going to be honest. Every one of those dogs has been worked on every single day by the hour.
Yeah.
Every single one. You look at the giant schnauzer coat. That dog even had hard leg hair instead of the soft fluff and puff. Right. The Afghan was in beautiful. And every single dog that was in there, that has been worked on and pampered every blasted day. Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be.
It is. And I think to kind of tease out a little bit of what you were saying, we have a lot of folks who are new to our sport, and a lot of them listen to this podcast. And so I talk a lot, and I bring people here to talk with me about how do you get from where you are to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You go.
Hard work, and don't stop. Even though you may get discouraged, keep pushing on, because you know what? It pays off in the long run, and it gives you so much joy and reward. And you know what the best part of it is? The dogs. You're spending time with our best friends ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where my life would be without the dogs themselves. Seriously.
I know mine. Certainly it wouldn't have ended this way.
No. And you know, you stop and think about it. It's almost like the dogs force you to get up in the morning. And I say that because I had a fabulous Airedale client years ago that lived in Chicago. And I'd go over there about every 4 or 5 weeks. She was elderly. And I'd go over there every 4 or 5 weeks. And she had 5 or 6 Airedales, and I'd trim them for her, and I'd come home. And I remember every morning I could hear her alarm go off. And then it was like a clock radio thing, and the news would come on, and I could hear her stirring. And she'd get up, you know, it was like 6:15. And she said to me one day, she said, "You know, I'd probably be dead long ago if it weren't for my dogs. My dogs are what keep me alive." I just think that people don't understand what dogs do for you. I really don't.
I really 1,000% agree with that. I know in my mom's case, my mom bred clumbers, and towards the end of her life, her health was such that she couldn't have another litter. And from that decision point to the day she passed away, it's like 9 months.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. It really happens that way.
Yep.
Okay. So, I have a favorite game that I like to play with some of my judge friends who come and talk, and we do their all-time best in show lineup. And I talked to you about this, and you thought this would be an okay idea. Because of your deep, deep, deep roots in terriers, if you could come up with 8 of your favorite terriers, like you had just made the cut at Montgomery, from all through the course of your years in these magnificent breeds.
Okay. Not in any order here. I'm just going to throw some out here. I adored Benny the Sealy that Peter Green showed. I just adored her. And this is going to sound like Peter Green Day here, but...
Well, I mean, there were an awful lot of good ones over the years.
Yes. Yeah. I was a huge fan of Willem, the Norwich Terrier.
Who I think is the cutest.
Adored that dog. I know. I just loved that little dog. I loved his personality. I loved Mick the Carrie. Shannon the Scotty.
Yes.
I adored that little gal. Spot On. I just thought Spot On was a cat's meow.
The Wire Fox Terrier, for people who don't. Wire. Yep.
Yep. Sorry.
I only know because I have read enough history that, would you told me the name of the other one? Galsal Excellence, right?
Galsal Excellence.
Spot On, yeah. And Spot On and that competition.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. There was a Lakeland Terrier that Eddie showed that I really, really like. I like that dog a lot. Eddie Boyce. Oh, there was a Westie. Gosh, I can't think of his name. Sorry. It was 100 years ago. It was when I was a kid, and it was a Westie that Cliffy showed. I love that dog. And he also had a Border Terrier from Mrs. Seaman a million years ago that I just thought was the cat's meow. And again, I'm sorry, I can't remember the registered names.
So if you had to pick your favorite terrier of all time, like of all time, the one, I'm going to live with this one dog forever and ever and a day. Which one stole your heart the most over all your years?
In honesty, and probably because she was with me, it was Shannon.
Yeah.
She was a fabulous dog. Fabulous dog.
I kind of thought that might be just, you know.
She was such a character. People didn't realize what the character, well, sometimes they saw what a character she was because she could be, pardon my friends, so asshole in the ring. I remember
really she was purebred is what you're telling me.
And one day I'll never forget this, we're at some outdoor dog show. It had like an open air building, and she walked in for best in show, and the poodle people had been there grooming, and all of a sudden this wind or breeze came through and all the puffy poodle hair started floating across the ring, and she was like, "Oh my god, it's a bunch of mice," and she just went crazy. I mean, all you could do is just stand there with her because you couldn't stop her from squealing and jumping and acting like a moron. But you know what? That was her. That was her. And you can't beat her down for that. You know, what the heck? In a terrier.
She's a terrier.
Yeah. She was a great little dog in many ways. And a story that I know sounds crazy. I used to call her my taste tester. Not that she was mean, because she wasn't. But she was so intuitive with people, and it took me a little bit to figure out. You know, we had kennel, and I'd hire kids to come in, you know, in afternoons and clean after school or whatever. And I figured out really quick that the ones that stayed a long time were the ones she liked. So when I would start interviewing, the first thing I would do is put her out in the run, and then I'd go get the new interviewee, and I'd say, "Go to that run and go pick up that dog." And if she came to them, they were great and they lasted forever. If she went to the back of the run, she didn't like them. So I didn't hire them.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I had Akitas like that. Like, you know, the Akitas were the taste testers.
Yeah. And I mean, she wasn't mean, but it was like the whole eye thing. It's like, mm-hmm. You know, you're smart.
Love it. I love it. Okay. So, final question for our audience. Again, I'm always trying to give people something to take away, to go forward with. What's your three best tips for someone who really wants to get involved in a terrier breed, to be really more involved, to be more successful? You know, is it pick the right breed, pick the right person, learn to trim? How do you get more people involved in some of the terriers?
I think the first thing that people should do that they don't is they go to dog shows. Let's say they have a wire fox terrier class dog, and they show their little dog, and as soon as the class is done, they leave. You should stick around, learn your history of your breed, learn who the greats of the breed were, learn your pedigrees, figure out who the best multiple breeders of your breed, and it wouldn't matter if they're one's on the West Coast and one's in Texas and one's in Maine, for heaven's sake. Seek those people out. Learn the best you can. And then if you get a dog, don't be afraid to go, not just ask other breeders for help on trimming or showing. I'm telling you, you go to most of these handlers, it doesn't matter who they are more than willing to help. We need the new people in the sport, and everybody knows it. And I think that what people also need to do is don't think that you're better than everybody else. Be kind and caring to people. Because you know something? We all have to ask for help at some point in our lives, and don't be afraid to.
I asked for help when I had the Celia. I went to Rachel and I said, help me. I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Exactly. I'm going to tell you a little story, and this is so very true, and I wish that more clubs would do this. I'm a member of the Wire Fox Terrier Club of the Central States, and you know, we all gather. We don't have hundreds in our breed or anything, but everybody goes there for about 3 days, even though it's like one day of dog shows. But I give people like Bill McFadden and Gabriel and Ernesto and all these people that go, the handlers I'm talking, and they go and they help all the owner handlers, and they trimming wise and handling wise before the show. And they're willing to help and talk and walk dogs. And that's the way it should be. And I think that's what makes us all get along so well. It's what it's all about.
I have personally sat and watched both Bill and Gabriel trim dogs. Just watching. Just for hours. Just like a kid in a candy store. And they're not the only. And you can watch what they're doing. And it's amazing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, don't be afraid to go say, can you come look at my dog? Or if I bring my dog, can you tell me how to improve it? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ways that I learned when I was a kid is my mentor on Scotty's, John Sheehan, he'd trim the show side. And then he'd say, okay, now you trim the other side. Copy that. You know, and these guys will do that. All of these handlers, all of them will. I mean, I remember.
That's how I teach people how to groom my breeds. I mean, it works great.
And I'm just going to say this. This was, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. I was at some show up east and I did a Fox Terrier specialty show. And everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people thought, oh my gosh, she's like lost her mind. I put some owner handler guy, best of breed from the classes, with this really pretty bitch. She was trimmed terribly, but she was a beautiful bitch. So when we went to get the picture, I said, can I make a suggestion? And he said, what's that? And I said, before we get this picture, you need to get this bitch trimmed up better. Well, the next breed that was coming in, I don't remember what it was, Border Terriers or something, and Andrew Green was standing there. So I said, Andrew, come here. And I said, this man needs help. Can you help him trim this bitch up so we can get a really good picture? He said, sure. Well, let me tell you what, that little bitch came in the group, because I was doing the group, she looked like she was ready to go in for best in show at Montgomery County. I'm not kidding. Andrew done a great job. The guy was like Cheshire Cat grin, you know, and all the wire people are sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe it's the same bitch. But don't ever be afraid to ask for help. That's what I say.
And, just you know, my takeaway from that? As a judge, don't be afraid to put up the right dog.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Even though you might look like the odd man out. Because
you didn't look like a smacked ass by the time he was done, did you?
No, that's right. Yep.
I think that for me, that I'm going to take away from this, don't be afraid to find the diamond in the rough.
No, that's right. Exactly. I remember years ago going to Chicago, some shows, it wasn't international, but some shows, and being set up next to Dick Cooper. It was so long ago, it was when Kenny was working for Dick.
Oh my God.
And he was working on a Springer. And he said to Kenny, you know, keep going, you know, trim it up. Well, I'd never touched a Springer or anything. Well, you know what? Kenny helped me learn how to trim a Springer. Mm-hmm. You know, don't ever be afraid. Go and watch. People are happy to help.
I love it. I absolutely love it. The one thing I did want to make a little pitch, because I love your stuff so much. We're going to put a link in the show notes to the Bee and the Hound. Because Ross does the most beautiful needlework and has an Etsy shop that I believe everyone should buy something from. I'm saving my pennies.
Thank you.
Seriously, it's gorgeous.
Thanks.
Absolutely fabulous.
I have help from a good graphics lady, too. You know, we work together, and sometimes I want to, like, shoot her because I have to redo everything, and she says, well, I like it this way. I said, but it doesn't. It's not right.
It's not right.
But it's fun. It's a good little business, and believe me, it keeps me busy. So that's good.
There you go. That's the right way to do it. All right. Okay. Well, Roz, thank you so much. It was a true joy to watch you. Your dress was 1,000% on point. You looked absolutely stunning.
Thank you. But you know what? It was the biggest honor of my life, and I had 7 incredible dogs. And you know what? It isn't just me. It's also the people that sent those dogs to me.
Yep. So, 100%.
Right. All good dog people.
Thanks so much, Roz. You have a great day.
You too, honey.
All right, crew. I hear from folks pretty much daily asking for a specific topic or for a series of podcasts on a topic. So ask and you shall receive. I've done all the hard work. I've sorted, searched, and compiled 8 different albums from the archives on our most popular topics. And when I say there's a podcast for that, I ain't just a woofin. Getting yours today is super simple. Just jump on puredogtalk.com/store and click the PDT albums image. And when you're in there, you're going to find a collection of veterinary voices. You're going to find a collection for breeding and whelping hands-on. You'll find Pure Dog Talk University on dog breeding. Love the breeds. Up your game. Owner handlers, the interviews, events and sports. There is so much there. And once you're in those links, you'll be able to read the details of the topic. For a special introductory price of $1.99, you get a link to dozens, up to more than 100 episodes on these specific topics. And while you're there, if you or a friend or family member are just getting started, even just starting a search for your first well-bred, purebred dog, you can also check out Auntie Laura's Beginner's Guide to Show Dogs at puredogtalk.com/book to get the foundational Pure Dog Talk episodes with bonus tracks. So hop on it, y'all. These special prices will not last. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.